North End and Kollel, share given by Gershon Heppner on Sunday, 11th of November 2012, Kafvov Cheshvan Tovshin Ein Gimel. And let's give the share again as a zechus for Louis. He should have refuah shleima. Reb Leib ben Leo should have refuah shleima. Is he still not 100% recovered yet? So we're up to Tehillim chapter Yud Ches Pasuk Lamed. Ki v'cha Arutz Gedud, because with you Arutz Gedud, I will run against the troops. Uvelo kai, and with my God, Adaleg Shur, I will jump over a wall. So with you, I will run against the troops, Uvelo kai, and with my God, with Hashem's help, Adaleg Shur, I will jump over a wall. I think the first thing we'll do is just to define this word Orutz. There are two alternative translations of the word Orutz. Pshat number one is that it means I will run. So it comes from the root Reshvav Tzadi, which is to run. And I'll run against the troops. In other words, I will run into battle fighting against my enemies. A second shot, Orutz, can also come from the root Resh Tzadi Tzadi, which is to smash. And means I'll smash the enemy. I'll smash the enemy troops. So whichever one you... Tirat Oyev is Resh Ayin Tzadi. It's definitely related, probably a related root, but that's Resh Ayin Tzadi. So two different shotim. Tirat is Resh Ayin Tzadi, which is something similar. It has a similar meaning to crush or to vanquish, something like that. But here we've got two alternative roots. Either Orutz is Resh Vav Tzadi, to run, and I'll run into battle against the troops, or enemy troops, or it's Resh Tzadi Tzadi, which is to crush. I'll crush the enemy troops. Whichever way you look at it, David HaMelech is saying pretty much the same thing. Kivacha Arutz Gedud, with you Hashem, Arutz Gedud, either I'll run into battle against the enemy troops, or I'll crush the enemy troops. Gedud is an enemy troops. God Gedud Yugedenu.
Of course.
You knew it. Yeah, your Sedra. Yeah. Okay.
The Sedra is
that
again?
Vaychi.
Familiar.
Norman is the North End expert on two main sedras, on Hazinu and Vaychi.
Hazinu,
yeah, because Hazinu. Vaychi and Hazinu.
Hazinu,
yeah.
Bishalach.
Oh, yeah, Bishalach. Okay, so one more time. Kivacha Arutz Gedud, because with you I run against the troops, or I crush the enemy troops. Uvelokai.
Mashuda, thanks.
Uvelokai, and with my God's help, Adaleg Shur, I jump over a wall. Oh, so and with Hashem's help, I'm able to jump over a wall. Okay, so Adaleg Shur. Shur is a wall, and that's another word you'll know from Vayechi, yeah, because it says in Vayechi, it's in Bereishis chapter Mem, Tes Pasuk Kaf Beis, Bonos Tzo Ado Ale Shur. Remember?
Well, of course,
the young girls of Egypt went up on the wall, Ale Shur, on the wall, to look at the beauty of Yosef. Exactly. So Shur is a wall.
Adalek
is I'll jump.
As well.
That I don't know. But the word Shur means a wall. It has another meaning as well, and it means to look out from a good vantage point. Which is Ashurenu, exactly. We'll come to that in a second. Right, exactly. So that's the... And that's another pshat in that pasuk. That's in Pashas Bolok. Ashurenu v'lo korov. I've got it here. Yeah, Ashurenu v'lo korov. It's a pasuk. It's in Bamidbar, chapter Kaftal, pasuk Yuzayin, where Bilam says, Ashurenu, I see him. It's an expression of seeing something. V'lo korov, but he's not near. Meaning, I can see Moshiach will come, v'lo korov, but not just yet. That's what Bilam meant. Yeah. So, shin vav resh there means to gaze out and to see. In fact, in Ne'ilah, when we say Zecher Bris Avraham v'akedas Yitzchok, Zecher Bris Avraham v'akedas Yitzchok, that's it. So there, it's got the expression, shur ki ovdu chasidenu. And I looked that up in the Machsa. Shur ki avdu chasidenu. See that our chasidim, our pious ones, are no more. So the word shur can also mean to see. The connection there is from a high wall, shur, meaning a wall, you get a good vantage point. You can see things. So that's again that's a pshat in that pasuk in Vayechi, bonus tsa'a da ali shur. The young girls of Egypt stepped up onto the walls because from a high wall they could get a good vantage point and see Yosef in all his beauty. They wanted to see a good-looking, young, handsome young man. Yeah,
like you.
Yeah. I'll delete that off the tape. Yeah. Okay, so that's the connection between the word shur meaning a wall and also shur, which means you can see. Okay, so coming back to our pasuk. Either I run against the enemy or I will crush the enemy with your help, and with my God's help, I will jump over a wall. Rashi brings a phenomenal medrash from the Medrash HaChetov on this pasuk. What's the story behind this pasuk of Elokai Adalek Shur? With my God's help, I can jump over a wall. So the Medrash HaChetov, and Rashi brings it as well, brings the story that when David HaMelech was fighting the Yavusi. Now, the Yavusi, they... yes. How do you know that?
I learned it for the school cert many, many years ago.
I'm amazed. Okay, brilliant. Okay, yeah. So the Yavusi were based in... The Yavusi were in Yerushalayim, and when David wanted to conquer them, he set out almost like a challenge to his troops. Yeah. And it's a pasuk, it's recorded in Divrei Hayomim Aleph, and it's chapter Yod Aleph, pasuk Vav, where he said, Vayomer David, Kol Maki Yavusi Barishono, whoever can conquer the Yavusim first, Yiyel Lerosh Odasar, he'll become a leader and a prince. I'll set them up as a governor over this town. Vayal Barishono Yoav ben Tsuriah. So Yoav, the son of Tsuriah, stepped forward first, Vayhi Lerosh, and indeed he attained that position. David appointed him as a governor over Yerushalayim. So what did he do? So first of all, who was he? Yoav ben Tsuriah. You know, he was David's nephew. He was the head of David's army, but he was also David's nephew. Tsuriah was the sister of David. So Yoav ben Tsuriah is David's nephew, and this Yoav ben Tsuriah, together with his brothers Avishai ben Tsuriah and his other brother Asael ben Tsuriah, are always known as Bnei Tsuriah. They're known by their mother's name. I don't know who the father was, because she came from this fantastic Yichus family of... She was David's sister, daughter of Yishai, and these three brothers all had very colourful lives. Okay, Yoav ben Tsuriah, he certainly had a colourful life, and he was David's chief of army. Later on, of course, he tragically killed Avshalom, probably meaning well, but he still killed Avshalom, and... David couldn't quite cope with that. Anyhow, so Yoav ben Tsuriah at this stage, he stepped forward, wanted to conquer Yerushalayim, and he did. What actually happened? So the Medrash HaChetov says that Yerushalayim was heavily fortified with walls, and no one could get in at all. So what did Yoav do? He took a very young sapling tree. Now the tree that he took is recorded either as being a cypress tree, or a juniper tree. Juniper is from the same family as cypress. It's called a what's the Lashon? Barosh tree, which is translated either as a cypress tree or a juniper tree, but juniper is from the same species as cypress. Now, the thing about cypress trees, you can see from this picture, is that they are very, very tall. They're tall and thin. Have a look from the Children's Britannica. Here we are. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great... look at this, right? These trees over here, I can see them. So these are different species of cypress. Different species of them, okay? And the juniper, likewise. The juniper tree can grow to heights of about 40 metres. That is massively high, right? And a cypress, a bit less. The cypress tree is recorded here is going to heights of approximately 27 metres. Whichever one you look at, 27 and Kol Vachomer 40, these are tall trees. At any rate, Yoav got hold of one of these trees, which was very a young one, which presumably meant it wasn't so tall. But the main advantage that it had, it was very it was pliable. It's Barosh Ra'anon. Ra'anon means young and fresh and green. And he bent it right back, exactly. And his plan was to catapult himself into the city. Right? He's no other way of the walls. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Well, we'll see.
Powerful tree.
Powerful tree, yeah. Yeah, so it's powerful enough to give him a force to catapult him over the wall.
Amazing.
That's what he did. So he bent the tree back. He bent the tree back, and he asked. And David apparently held the tree down in position. Yoav jumped over David's head, landed on the tree. David let go, and Yoav went catapulting through the air over the wall. Okay, and at that point, David had sudden charata. He wanted to have the zechus of being the first one to capture Yerushalayim. Particularly, and this is explained in the art scroll on Tehillim, it's a sefer called Yevakesh Rotzon.
Can you say that again?
Yeah.
David held it down. He climbed onto
it. Yoav bent it back. David held it down, and I think I've got this right. There were a couple of midrashim where I was a bit unsure of the wording as to exactly who did what. But let's take it this way. Yoav pulled it back. David held it down. And so David would have been probably crouching down close to the ground, holding the tree as low as possible. Then Yoav jumped over David's head, landed on the tree. I don't know why he didn't simply climb onto the tree. I don't know why it says, it seems he jumped over David's head, landed on the tree. David let go, and Yoav went catapulting through the air and successfully over the wall. At that point, while Yoav was mid-air, David had charata. Had charata that he wasn't going into Yerushalayim first. He had charata that Yoav was going into Yerushalayim first. He felt that he should go into Yerushalayim first, that he would have the zechus of capturing Yerushalayim, knowing what a makom kodesh it was, etc., etc. And so he had this charata that Yoav was going over first. So, due to that harota, HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed an ace, lowered the walls of Yerushalayim. While Yoav was mid-air, HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously lowered the walls of Yerushalayim. David went in, climbed in first before Yoav landed. But even with all of that, David still made him, that Pasuk in Devar Yomim says that David still made Yoav a Rosh and a Sar over Yerushalayim. Okay? So that's the Medrash. So here we have the Pasuk. Uvelokai Adalek Shur. With Hashem's help, I was able to jump over the wall. Hashem lowered the wall and he got in. David jumped over the wall because the wall was lowered for him. Okay. There's one more Medrash coming still, which is...
If he completely lowered the wall, he wouldn't have had to jump over it.
Maybe it was still a bit of a height that he had to get over. Okay.
It'd be very high wall. They're doing this.
It was impossible. It was impossible high. Impossibly high.
Made it low.
So make it lower. So David jumped over. He was first there.
Exactly.
And the zechus of being the first.
So David indeed had the zechus of being the first one in, but he still made Yoav this leader, governor over Yerushalayim. Okay, right. Targum. The Targum on this pasuk had me stumped for ages and ages till I realized that I completely misunderstood it. But let's see the Targum as it is. Metul devamimroch. That metul is the translation of key. Devamimroch, with your word aske mashirion. I run into the troops, into the enemy troops. Over Meimar Eloki, and through the word of my God, Echbosh, I will capture Karakin Takifin, strong towns. So that's over Lekar Dalek Shur, that with your help, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can capture towns. And the capturing of the towns is expressed in the Pasuk as being Adalek Shur, I can jump over a wall. That's how the Targum is. So through you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can run against the troops, and I can also capture strong towns.
And when he says I run against the troops with Hashem, or his help,
with Hashem's help, with Hashem's help, I'm able to run against enemy troops and conquer
Hashem
them in battle.
Ishimokoma.
Exactly.
Same.
Same idea. Okay. Right, both the Radak and the Ibn Ezra bring these two pshatim on this word orutz. And we're going to go into it in a little bit more detail with a little bit of dikduk here, but I'm trying not to make it too technical. The Radak and the Ibn Ezra point out that this word orutz can be understood in two different ways. As I mentioned earlier, either the word orutz comes from the root resh tzadi tzadi, which is to crush. Retzitza is crushing, And the word orutz, I will crush the gedud, the enemy troops. Or it comes from the sheresh resh vov tzadi, which is to run. And it means I can run against the enemy troops.
The first explanation seems better.
Oh, why do you say that?
Because there seems to be a word missing in between. Because...
I will run troops. You would expect Neged.
I would run against the troops or follow the troops, something like that.
Yeah, oh. That's a nice catch. I never thought of that.
Maybe I'll counter that by saying that if we take the first part, that's Reish Tzadi Tzadi to crush, then you would expect another word as well. You'd expect the word S. Or roots S Gedud. Because the word S always precedes a direct object. I will crush the enemy troops. So maybe...
Not as much.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's a stronger kasha that you...
If it means I will run, you expect Orutz Lifnei HaGedud, or Orutz Neged Gedud, or something like that. Yeah. Okay, there is one very interesting kasha on this, on the pshat that it's Reish Tzadi Tzadi, to crush, Orutz Gedud, I will crush the enemy. There's one very interesting kasha which is brought in the Sefer Das Mikra, the modern Sefer. And that is, this type of Shoresh, Reish Tzadi Tzadi, has a particular pattern. You'll see that the root is Reish Tzadi Tzadi, the second and the third letters of the root are the same, two tzadis. And what's happened here is quite normal for that kind of verb. That kind of verb is referred to by the Balei Dikduk as an ayin-ayin verb. The point being that every Shoresh is described by the three letters Pei, Ayin, Lamed. So the first letter is represented by a pei, and the second letter is represented by an ayin, and the third letter is represented by a lamed. So when you have the second and the third letter the same, it's often called an ayin-ayin verb, because the ayin letter, i.e. the middle letter, is repeated. Right. So far so good?
Yeah.
Now, in ayin-ayin verbs, when you have the second and third letter of the shoresh the same, quite a common feature is that one of those two letters drops out. And that's quite normal. So, and that's what you get here. Or roots, there's only one tzadi left. Okay, even though the root is Reish Tzadi Tzadi, in this particular form of the word, or roots, one of the two tzadis has gone. Okay.
Why is the vav there if it's roots?
So why is that?
If it would be to run, why isn't the vav?
Why isn't the vav in place there?
That's not such a kasha, because if the root is Reish Vav Tzadi, quite a common feature of ayin vav verbs, i.e., where you have a vav in the ayin position, in the middle position, the middle root letter, is that the vav often drops out. For example, if you take a shoresh like kufvav mem, to get up, you get vayokom.
Yeah.
Vayokom melech hodosh.
Yeah.
So you do get it in the word kum, the vav is there usually.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be there, it can be replaced by a kubutz, the three dots. The kub, like, which is what we got here, or roots, that those three dots under the reish are simply.
Does it have to be a kubutz? Or sometimes not.
Now you're coming to the kasha of the Das Mikra.
The three dots in a row.
Looking like the three stars in Orion. Yeah, on Orion's belt, right? The three stars. Okay, yeah. No, actually, I was looking at out in the night sky the other night with my son, with Ishan Lawson, and he said to me, "Oh, look, those are the three stars in Orion's belt," and I couldn't find them, and he could find them, and he said to me, "Look at it," he said, "it's a backwards kubutz," and there it was. I found it. Yeah, it was pointing the other way. Okay, kivacha orutz gedud, right? So with your help, so orutz gedud, either I will smash the enemies, or I will run against the enemies. Okay, now, if we take this pshat, this Reish Tzadi Tzadi, to crush, and as so therefore it's an ayin-ayin verb, and as often happens with ayin-ayin verbs, one of those two letters drops out, so we're only left with one tzadi, that's fine. But the pattern for such an ayin-ayin verb would not be orutz, but orotz, with a chulam vav. Okay? And this kasha is asked by the Das Mikra. In which case, he just points out the word orotz is a strange form of the word. It would normally be orotz. And for example, he quotes a few examples. If you take the Shoresh samach veis veis, to turn around, okay?
Like
soviv. Like soviv, exactly. Yeah. So you get a word like osov, I will turn around, or an alternative form would be esov, I will turn around. But the point being is that the vav there is a chulam vav and not a shuruk vav. Not osuv, but osov. not esuv, but esov. Okay, the cholam vav. And here we've got this kubutz, which of course is representative of a shuruk vav. So it's orutz. If anything, he asks it should be orutz. Okay, that's his kasha, and he doesn't give an answer. He just says it's unusual. And you know, here's a pasuk which is easy for us to understand. Hayaridin yisov liocher. Okay, from Tehillim chapter Kuf Yud Daled pasuk Gimel. Hayaridin yisov liocher. Not which is from Salach Beis. Not yisov, but yisov. You get a cholon vav, the dot on top. Yisov. Okay. Hayaridin yisov liocher. There's his kasha. All right. And then I looked back again at the Radak, and I saw that, and the Me'iri as well, actually, but the Radak probably a bit clearer, just says, Uva b'shuruk. He says it comes with a shuruk. Shuruk, like the equivalent of the shuruk vav. So the Radak himself points out that this is actually slightly unusual. And it would normally be orotz, but here it happens to be orotz. So it's an unusual form of the word. And then it looks into a bit further.
It should really be resh and the vav.
Well, either resh or the point being, it should be the vav is dropped out, but it should be orotz. Yeah, either with the vav with the dot on top, or without the vav but the dot on top. Yeah. Just the cholom without the vav. It should be o and not u.
That's it. Yeah.
That's the kasha. Yeah. Okay, and the Radak himself says uvav b'shuruk. It comes with the shuruk, i.e., in this context, it's a kubutz or roots and not orotz. So even the Radak points out it's unusual. It's an unusual form of the word. Okay. The Me'iri points out that we find exactly the same unusual feature in Tehillim chapter Tzadi Aleph Pasuk Vav in Yosheb Seis Elyon, where it says Meketev Yoshud Tzohoroyim. The pasuk there says, "Don't be scared of the Ketev." What's the Ketev? It's some kind of demon. Yoshud, from an expression of shade, a demon. Yoshud Sohoroyim, because it goes and it causes damage, lays waste, Batorom at midday. Exactly. Just some kind of, I don't know, I don't really understand possible, but the word Yoshud comes from the root Shin Dalad Dalad. Again, where the second and third letters of the root are the same. And again, the form of the word technically should be Yoshud, but it's not, it's Yoshud. So it's a slightly unusual one. And you have another feature, another example of this, where you have in... Actually, sorry, but part of the kasha in the Das, in the Sefer Das Mikra, is you find in Bamidbar, chapter Kaf Gimel Posuk Ches, Bilam says, Mo ekov lo kabo kael. Mo ekov, what shall I curse? Lo kabo kael, unless Hashem is prepared to curse as well. Now, ekov comes from the root kuf veis veis. Again, with this doubled... second and third letter. So, and there the word is, it's not ekuv, it's ekuv. Okay, so the normal form or the expected form of the word would be with the cholam, with the dot on top, ekuv. But it's like ekuv and esov, and here we have orutz. So it's a slightly unusual one. Okay, and then I thought a nice answer, and that is from a posuk at the end of Koheles, chapter Yud Beis Posuk Vav, Vesarutz Gulas Hazahov, talking, can be a bit depressing, but it speaks about the end of a human being's life, and the person dies, and the body is slowly sort of worn down, and then eventually the person dies. Vesarutz Gulas Hazahov, the golden bowl, it's a moshel, the golden bowl is shattered. Vesorutz. Now that's the same root as orutz in our pasuk. The root is reish tzadi tzadi, to shatter. Yeah, and it's a reference to the skull. The human skull breaks down. Yeah, after death. Yeah, so vesorutz gulas hazahov. Vesorutz gulas hazahov. The human skull is shattered. And that word vesorutz again with a kubutz. Even though you'd expect a cholam, v'sarotz, you'd expect the word, you'd expect v'sarotz. It's got the oo instead of the expected o. Yeah? So it's a little bit unusual. Okay, so there you are.
A bit grammatical thing, isn't it? Sometimes absolutely. Here, sometimes there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It varies.
Yeah, it varies, but the normal pattern would be the o. Yeah, here it's the oo. So that's a bit of a kasha. The Das Mikra brings it as a kasha against the pshat that it comes from the root resh tzadi tzadi. Yeah. Whereas if it comes from the root resh vov tzadi, to run, then it's easy. Orutz is I will run. Okay? Good. Okay. Yeah, the Radak explains, what's the pshat in here, Uvelukai Adalegshur, I will jump over the wall together with my God's help. It's referring to very similar to the way the Targum put it. I can capture enemies, but says the Radak, Adalig sure, I'll jump over a wall is a moshel. I will capture the enemies with such speed that it's as though I've jumped over the wall. That's how the Radak explains it. It's a moshel. A giant can jump over the enemy wall and capture their town at immense speed. So it's just a, it's a moshel to David's military success. Okay, right. The Ibn Ezra points out, Ki v'cho, or it's gutud, through you I can crush the enemy, or I'll jump, or I'll run against the enemy. What's this idea, b'cho? Imcho, with you. It's really as we've understood all along, with you, with your help. Yeah. And he gives a second shot, b'shimcho ekro, I call your name, i.e. through tefillah. Ki v'cho, when I go to fight, says David, v'cho, I've got your name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is on my lips. Yeah, I'm davening to you all the time. So that's how the Ibn Ezra understands the pasuk. Now, the Malbim points out a very beautiful shot. He says that gedud, it does not mean the enemy soldiers or the enemy troops, it's David's own troops. Ki v'cho, with you, orutz, I run, gedud, with my own troops against the enemies. So there, the word gedud is David's own army. It says that Malbim, if we understand it like that, then we have an interesting thing. What does it mean? Orutz is in the singular. I will run. And he's saying that because it is v'cho, with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with your help, therefore, when I run alone, orutz, it is as though I have a gedud. I have a whole army to support me. That's how the Malbim understands. So although it's orutz, I will run entirely by myself, because it is ki v'cho, because I'm with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's gedud. It's as though I'm one man alone, but it's as though I'm like an entire army. Yeah, that's how the Malbim understands the pshat. The Shlach HaKadosh writes, very similarly, he says, Orutz, I'm running by myself, gedud, against my enemies, but because it's v'chol, even though I'm one against maybe hundreds, says David. So I might be able to fight by myself. Why? V'chol, because I'm fighting with your help. Because I've got you on my side, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore I can cope even entirely alone against an entire gedud. Yeah. The Al-Sheikh and other Mefreshim as well relate this Pasuk to the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Yud Zayin, Pasuk Memches, where David fights Goliath. And the Pasuk there says, here we are, it's chapter Yud Zayin, Pasuk Memches, V'hoyoki kom ha-plishti. It was when the Philistine Goliath got up, v'yelech, and he went, v'yikrav likras David, and he started walking towards David, approaching David. What did David do? V'yemahe David, David harried, v'yoratz ha-ma'arocha, and he ran through the troops. We actually mentioned this possibly briefly last week. Troops. The enemy troops, likras ha-plishti, to meet the Philistine. Well, ma'arocha, the word ma'arocha, ayin resh cho, is the root, ayin resh chof, means to be in order, like shulchan oruch is a laid table, yeah? So oruch is to have a neatly laid out, and that's the enemy troops, as they used to be, you know, the soldiers would all line up in serried ranks, you know, all in the ranks. So this vayoratz ha-ma'arocha is our posuk, orutz gedud. I will run through the troops, through the enemy troops, that's by Yoratz HaMarocha, as exactly as David did when he went to confront Goliath. Now, Sefer, which I picked up in Yerushalayim a couple of years, summers ago, called Chaim V'Hashalom. It's by the Ben Yehoyada, Rabbi Yosef Chaim from Baghdad. And he writes as follows. He says that Orutz Gedud is all about, this pasuk is all about David sending Uriah HaChiti off to his death. David sent Uriah HaChiti off to his death. So remember that Uriah was the husband of Bathsheba, and David saw Bathsheba, and he wanted to marry her. And it's a very, very difficult parasha to understand, and we tackle it ever so often, it comes up. And we will still again, and it's still hard to understand. I still don't really understand precisely what happened. The Gemara is very clear that David didn't really sin on the matter. Uriah had already sent a get to his wife. Uriah HaChiti had already given a get to his wife, which would be retroactively valid. And so by the time David had a relationship with Bathsheba, she was already divorced. Why?
Because
Uriah
died.
Because Uriah died. The fact is that David took Bathsheba. He engineered it. And we come to this engineering process now. Yeah. The fact is that David had a relationship with Bathsheba.
Yeah.
Sent Uriah out to war. He had already been at war and come back, and David sent him out again to his certain death, which David engineered quite deliberately.
Yeah.
In fact, David instructed the army chief, Yoav, to make sure that Uriah would be killed.
Right.
Because Uriah would have written a get to his wife, as they all did, write a get for their wives to say if they don't come back from the battle, then the get should be retroactively valid.
Almanos,
if they don't come back, then it should be valid from the date that the get was written in order to stop the wife from being an aguna or even someone who might need to have yibum. Or chalitza, to avoid any of those kinds of problems. So, therefore, they wrote gittin for the wives. Therefore, when Uriah died in battle, it transpired that she had already been divorced from before the time that David took Bathsheba.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't actually an avera.
So, he died early, in other words. He died early.
Uriah was killed in battle,
but he was killed. She's free to do what she likes. So
that's right, absolutely. Yeah. But the point being that because Uriah did not return from the battle, he was killed in battle, therefore the get that he had previously written was valid retrospectively, retroactively, and she had already been a gerusha, a divorcee, at the time when David took her.
When he wrote it.
The get should be valid retrospectively from the time of the giving. Yeah,
for the date of
writing or giving or both. Yeah,
the date the get was written.
Precisely.
Well,
handed over.
But at any rate, that's right.
So, of course, it's hard for us to understand. Yeah, of course, and Rabbi Kimcha gave a whole shiur on it a few months ago. If they've recorded those shirim, it's probably, I haven't heard it, but I just saw the shir was advertised, the whole shir about David and Bathsheba.
But he did say he sinned after, didn't he, David HaMelech? He didn't confess to anything later.
Yeah, he said, yes, he did. He said, Chotosi Lashem, he did. Because Nosson HaNovi came to David and gave him a Musa Joshua, whereupon David did instant teshuva. We mentioned that last week, I think.
He did wrong.
The Gemara says it wasn't technically a bit.
If it's Madrega, he saw it as wrong.
Yeah.
And now Madrega might be okay.
Yeah, it wasn't technically an Aveiro because he engineered the death, therefore she was a Gerusha. But the Lashon I've used in the past is it looked very dodgy. Yeah, it looked dodgy. And Nosson gave him a Musa Joshua, and David did Teshuva for it. Mm-hmm. And later on in Tehillim, there's a passage of Chatosi Negdi Somid, my sin is with me all the time. He did constant Teshuva for that Aveiro, for that Maisa, he did Teshuva. He never got over it, he did Teshuva for it. Ad Sof Yomov for his entire life.
Yeah.
Okay, now, the Pasuk says in Shmuel Beis that David said to Uriah, after David had had that first relationship with Bathsheba, and she had become pregnant from that, David sent Uriah home and almost instructed him, sort of, go home and go back to normal home life, in fact, he said to him, Urechatz Raglecha, it's a pasuk, it's in Shmuel Beis, chapter Yodan of Pasuk Ches, Urechatz Raglecha, wash your feet, and which is a euphemism, it's a nice way of saying, go back and live with your wife as normally. Because David wanted the baby should appear to be Uriah's child. Uriah did not go home. Okay, so the pasuk goes on to say that chapter Yudalef, pasuk Yudalef, here in Shmuel Beis, Vayomer Uriah el David. Uriah said to David, no, he says, I'm not going home. David had told him to go home. He said, I'm not going home. Ha'oron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshvim basukos. The Oron and the Klal Yisrael, both from the north and from the south, yoshvim basukos. They're living in huts because they're on army maneuvers. V'Adoni Yoav, and my master Yoav, because he was the head of the army, V'Avdei Adoni, and all the servants of my master, Alpnei Asadeh, they're all on the fields, Chonim, they're in camps, they're not settled, they're fighting wars. V'Ani Avo El Beisi, and I should go back to my own home, Le'echol V'Lishtos, to eat and to drink V'Lishka V'Mishni, and to sleep with my wife, Chayecho, I swear by your life, V'Chei Navshecho, Im SS Atavasa, I will not do this thing. Now it sounds he was very loyal. Uriah is being very loyal to David. David saying to him, go home. David had his ulterior motives. Go home so that the child should appear to be your child, Uriah's child. And Uriah said, I'm a loyal soldier. The troops are all fighting. How can I possibly go home and lead a luxurious existence, eating and drinking, living with my wife, when my colleagues are out on the battlefield suffering? And therefore I'm not going to go back. Okay? Now, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, that with this Pasuk, by saying this, Uriah became a Mered B'Malchus. The king, David, has told him to go home. And he's not. It's on the first wide... Yes. He certainly was a loyal soldier, loyal to his king and loyal to his commanding officer, Yoav.
He has to do what the king tells him.
So the Gemara says there, it's Nun Vav Amud Aleph on the first wide line, Merid B'Malchus Hava. He was a Merid B'Malchus. He was rebelling against the king. Why? To Amale, because he said, V'Adoni Yoav, Avde Adoni Alpnei Asodeh Honim. He said, my master Yoav and my colleagues are all out on the fields and then they're in camps on the field, and how on earth can I go home? Rashi says, what made him a Merid B'Malchus? In David's presence, how dare he refer to the army chief, Yoav, as his master? He's in the presence of the king. David is your master, not Yoav. Yoav is of course, inferior to David, in the pecking order, in the orders. Yeah? So how can Uriah refer to Yoav as his master in David's presence? Yes. And with that, was Emred B'Malchus. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosus learns a bit differently in the name of the Maharam in Rottenberg, there, quoted in Tosus. Says that, no, where was the Merida, where was this rebellion, that David actually told him to go home, and he said, I'm not going. Pasuk says, I will not do this thing. And that made him into Mered B'Malchus. Whichever way you look at it, he was a Mered B'Malchus. Now that we understand that Uriah is a Mered B'Malchus, Mered B'Malchus is Chayv Misa. And that's halacha. A Mered B'Malchus, a king, has full halachic rights to kill him. No Edim, no Bastin, no Hasra. The king has a right to kill a Mered B'Malchus. And that's what we have in our Pasuk. Says the Sefer Chaim V'Hashalom, in our Pasuk, Ki v'cha orutz gedud. V'cha, with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, orutz gedud. I can run with the enemy troops. In other words, I can send Uriah to his certain death. And I did so v'cha, with a full haskama of the Torah. Why? Because it's perfectly mutter of me to do that. Uvelokai, and with my God, in other words, with good intentions, adaleg shur. Says the Sefer Chaim V'Hashalom, shur is a wall. I jumped over the wall. He quotes the Gemara. Now the Gemara is in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. Let me show you the Gemara, where the Gemara discusses the wonders of marriage. And the Gemara there says, Yevamos Samach Beis Amud Beis, B'marova Amri, a person who has no wife, B'marova Amri, in Eretz Yisrael they would say, below Sarah, below Choma, someone who has no wife at home, below Sarah, lives without Torah and lives without a wall, protective wall. Protective wall, the person is protected from Averis due to his wife. And the Gemara brings a proof for it. Says the Sefer Chaim V'Hashalom, we see from here that the wife is compared to a wall. Okay, and Adalek Shur, I jumped over the wall. What does that refer to? This Shur is Bathsheba, the wall. She's the wall. Why Adalek? From another Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuzayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that one of the problems that happened with David, that David and Bathsheba, he was perfectly entitled to marry Bathsheba. In fact, she was intended. HaKadosh Baruch always intended that David should marry Bathsheba. Absolutely, absolutely. Beshet for David. V'chein tana tevei Rabbi Shmuel, ru'uya hoysa l'David bas sheva bas Eliyom. Bas sheva, the daughter of Eliyom, was fully intended for David. Elobat she'achola fago. He ate her when she was an unripe fig. What does it mean? Like a person eating an unripe fig. Wait! Just wait a bit. Wait for the fig to ripen. And the point being, he took her too early. He simply should have waited for... Well, he should have waited for Uriah to die first and then take her.
Yeah.
And she was intended for him. Of course, you know, she was the... She was, of course, she became the mother of Shlomo Melech. Yeah. So yeah. The continuity of Malchus based on it came through her. Yeah. So the Gemara describes it as acholopago. He ate her as though she was an unripe fig. A little bit too early. Okay? Adalek Shur. He jumped over at speed... Shur being a representation of the woman, Choma being a wall. The woman, a man who lives without a wife, is living without a Choma, without a protective wall. So the idea is that Adalek Shur Velokai, Adalek Shur, I jumped over the wall. I took her too quickly. I took her too soon. Adalek, a lot of jumping in. I jumped in. I precipitated myself a little bit too early, and I should have waited. That's how the Sefer Chaim Vashalom from the Ben Ish Chai Ben Yoyada writes this. I sent Uriah to his death, but I did so with the full authority of the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, uvelo kai, and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adalek Shur, I jumped over the wall, I married Bathsheba, I took her too early, but he did so with good kavanas, that's uvelo kai. But it was still Adalek Shur, I did so too soon, Adalek Shur, I jumped over the wall, yeah, a bit too quick, yeah. Okay, the Sefer Tikkuni, the Tikkuni Zohar, which is part of the Zohar, one section of the Zohar called Tikkuni Zohar, in Tikkuno Shivin, that's the section in the Sefer, and it's on page Kuflamed Beis Samed Beis, says, Ki v'cha oritz gudud, v'cha is gematria 22. That's reference to the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. Yeah? The 22 letters in the Aleph Beis. So, and kivacha oritz gedud, when I run into battle against my enemies, or when I crush my enemies, vacha, I'm doing so with the Torah, with the 22 letters of the Aleph of the Torah with me. That's the I'm doing everything with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah on my lips, or through a spirit of learning Torah, oritz gedud. And in fact, that sefer quotes many. Other pesukim in the Zohar there, for example, Baruch Kaved Hashem Imkomo, which pasuk in Yecheskel chapter Gimel, Baruch Kaved Hashem Imkomo, Baruch Kavod is Rosh Hashanah's base Kaf, 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, yeah, and Vayishkav Bamokam Hahu at the beginning of Parshas Vayetse, it says Vayishkav, he lay down, Yaakov Inu lay down Bamokam in that place, Vayishkav, and I hope I understood this correctly. I'm not sure if I did a very hard piece of Zohar, very complicated Aramaic as well. And he quotes there, Vayishkav is Vayesh Kaf Beis. There are 22. Vayesh Kaf Beis, there are 22 letters in the Aleph Beis, i.e., Yaakov Avinu giving testimony to the validity of the Torah. Exactly. Vayishkav Vayesh Kaf Beis. There are 22. The Rem is there. It is. Every Muslim, absolutely. 22 letters in the Aleph Beis, i.e., it's a representation of the whole Torah. The whole Torah, as written with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, that's Vayishkav, Vayesh Kaf Beis, Vayishkav Bamakamahu. So Yaakov Avinu paying homage, if you like, to the Torah, as represented by the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. And in our pasuk,
it's like this, also with other words. Interesting.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah,
come
yeah.
up, you see.
Yeah, in fact, that piece of Zohar quotes a number of pasukim, most of them I didn't understand.
But amazing.
Yeah. So in our pasuk, ki v'cho, oritz gedud, is v'cho is 22. So it's when I fight my battles, when I run into battle, or I crush the enemy soldiers, v'cho, I do so with the strength of the Torah, as represented by the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, v'cho. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Now, further on all of this is brought by the Sefer Zera Yaakov, by Rabbi Yaakov Khan, who is an ancestor, I believe, of Eli Pick's wife. Every time I meet Eli, I forget to ask him exactly how the mishpachology works. Mm-hmm. Anyhow. He says as follows. Let's start with a pasuk. Let's start with the pasuk in Yeshaya, Yeshaya chapter Samech pasuk kaf beis, where the pasuk finishes. It's actually the haftorah of Parshas Ki Sovo, I think. Yeshaya chapter Samech pasuk kaf beis, be'ito achisheno. In its time, I will hurry it. What does it mean? It's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing Mashiach. Be'ito achishana, in its right time, achishana, I will hurry him along. I'll hurry the Geula. Be'ito achishana. Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Ches Amad Aleph, questions this. And the Gemara there says, Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Romi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asks a contradiction in Pesukim. Kasiv, on the one hand, it says, be'itah, in its right time. Uchasiv, and it also says, achishena, al-hari the geula. Well, how can that be? Is it in its right time, or are you hurrying it along? It's a contradiction. That one phrase contains an inherent contradiction. Yeah. Either be'itah, in its right time, the geula will come, or achishena, al-hari the geula. It can't be both. The Gemara says, you'll see, it's a famous answer. Zachu, if Klal Yisrael are zoche, achishena, then I'll hurry the geula. Hashem says, if Klal Yisrael are on a high madrigo, then I'll bring along the geula at speed. Lo zachu, if they're not zoche to it, then be'ita, then it'll be in its right time, i.e. it'll take a lot longer, and it might not be such a...
It's taking time.
It takes its time.
At some point it will come.
Yeah, exactly. Either be'itah if they're not zoche, or achishena al hari the geula if it, in its right time if they are zoche. Says the Sefer Zera Yaakov, this drasha of Chazal, be'itah achishena, either in its right time if they're not zoche, or achishena al hari along if the Klal Yisrael are zoche, is echoed in our pasuk, because the pasuk reads as follows: Kivacha oritz gedud, Hashem says, or David is saying, either Mashiach will either come v'cha oritz gedud, u velokai adaleg shor, or Mashiach will come velokai adaleg shor. And that vav at the beginning of u velokai means or. Mm. Vav can mean or. Okay? Mm. It's one or the other. How does it work? Ki v'cha, he says, drawing on that piece of Zohar, that v'cha means the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. If it's through the Torah, through v'cha, through the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, and people learn Torah and are good Jews, then achishena, then I'll hurry the geula. Otherwise, uvelokai, or it'll be through elokai. Elokai is a lashon of elokim, which is midas hadin. Mm-hmm. Or it'll be midas hadin, and it'll adaleg shor, I'll jump over the wall, which is an expression of Mashiach will come, I'll successfully jump over the wall, Mashiach will come, I'll have the geula, but it will be of Elokai. It'll be through Elokim, through Midas Hadin. It's going to be one or the other, but not both.
I mean, in its time, in other words.
In its right time, it's now, i.e. slower. Yeah.
So the first bit, V'chor Rus Gedud, I mean, he'll bring it early.
Yeah, because it's V'chor on the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, through Torah and Mitzvahs, yeah, that's right, through Torah and Mitzvahs,
exactly, yeah,
through Torah and Mitzvahs, then it'll be Achishenor.
He'll have Rachmim on us.
Exactly, and it'll be Achishenor, and it'll be faster.
I'll hasten it.
Hasten the Geula. Yeah. Otherwise, it'll be V'elokai, it'll be through Elokim, which is Midas Hadin, which is slower, and it'll be it on its right time.
Very good. Yeah, it's... just that adaleg shur also it is an expression of very quickly.
It's yeah. All right, I can't answer that. Yeah, don't know the answer to that. Yeah, the Yalkut Miam Lois says that this idea of Oritz Gedud, I will run against the troops, is a reference to an incident recorded in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Lamed Pasuk Ches. In fact, it's when David HaMelech was fighting against the Amaleki in Tziklag, when he fought against them in Tziklag. We actually mentioned it last week. So Shmuel Aleph, chapter Lamed Pasuk Ches, where the Pasuk there says that David had a lot of trouble from the Amalekim, and David consulted the Urim V'Tumim, should I go to war? Vayishal David b'Hashem leimer, David asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Urim V'Tumim, Eredef acharei ha-gudut hazeh, should I chase after this troop, these troops, the Amalekim, ha-asigenu, will I overtake them, will I catch them up? Vayomelo, and the Kohen Gadol responded through the Urim V'Tumim, I think that's what it means, Radof, yes, chase after them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in effect replied, do chase after them, you'll catch up with them and you'll conquer them, you'll win the war. So you get the word there is gedud. Eredof acharei hagedud hazeh, should I chase after these troops? That's the word gedud. Says the in our pasuk, kivacha orutz gedud, it's through you. I consulted the Urim V'Tumim about should I chase after these Amalekim, this Amaleki gedud, this Amaleki troops, these Amaleki troops. And the response was, yes, you should. And I did, and indeed, David won that war. Yeah. Let me refer you to this sefer called Yalkut HaMochiri. This sefer, Yalkut HaMochiri, I'm very excited to be able to use it. Very excited to use it because after Rabbi Cooper was nifta, Mrs. Cooper gave it to me from Rabbi Kuba's library. This Sefer, Yalkut HaMechris, a collection of Medrashim. And it brings a Medrash which blew my mind. And it's, we're back to Yoav, but it's a different story about Yoav. Okay, and he brings here from a Sefer called Sefer Agadah. He quotes the following Medrash, that during the times of David HaMelech, David sent Yoav to, it seems to, another country called Kinsarin in order to fight against Amalek. Okay, and the Amalekim, they enclosed themselves again behind walls, walled city, and Yoav went with the army, and he actually went with 12,000 armed soldiers. Okay, this is a big story here. Okay, and they went and they surrounded the town, the soldiers of Yoav, for 6 months. And they got nowhere. They couldn't break into the Amalekim. They couldn't break in until the army started getting itchy feet. And the army turned to Yoav and they said, let's go home. Let's give up. We're not getting anywhere. Let's just go home. So Yoav turned to them and said, no, we dare not go home. We don't want to go home sort of unsuccessful in battle. And the king will be very upset. David will be very upset with us. And the net effect of that will be that other nations will see that we've failed in this military attempt. And then they'll come and fight us. He said, you know what? He said, catapult me over the wall. Here we go. It's a different catapulting story, this. Okay, different story from the first one. Okay. And Yoav took with him a lot of money. 1,000 pieces of silver with his sword, and they catapulted him over the wall. But before he went over, he sent to them, he said, give me 40 days in the town by myself. Yoav, I'm going into that town simply by myself, with my sword, with 1,000 pieces of silver. He said keep a look on the gates of the town. Just keep an eye out on the gates of the town. He said, within 40 days, he said, one of two things will happen. If you start seeing blood oozing out from underneath the gates, then you'll know I've been successful in this battle. If you don't, you know they've got me. Okay, give me 40 days. And he was catapulted over the wall, but he had a very bad fall. And he fell into the chotzer courtyard of a particular almona. And in the fall, not only was he very, very badly hurt and close to death, but his sword broke as well. Okay? So, now this almona had a daughter who was married and pregnant, and they had no idea who he was. This man suddenly arrived over the wall, and he said, landed here, who is this man? And he was very close to death. He said, lo chai velo meis. He wasn't alive and he wasn't dead. He was in a terribly bad way. So what happened? This family, where they had no idea who he was, they nursed him, and they nursed him back to health, amazingly enough. Yeah, and don't forget, these are Amalekim. And when it comes to Amalek, we have no Rachmanos. Okay? Right. So they nursed Yoav back to health, and they asked him, who are you? So he had a brilliant cover story. And his cover story was, he says, I'm actually an Amaleki. I'm one of you. I'm an Amaleki. But I've been captured by the Jews. And the Jews catapulted me over the wall in order to spy and to report back. Or something. That was his cover story. And he says, I beg of you, please save my life. I'm one of you. And he managed to bribe his way around. He took with him 1,000 pieces of silver, and he gave 10 pieces of silver, and he gave it to the son-in-law of the almona. And they looked after him. And he said, here's some money for you. He gave him 10 pieces of silver. And he stayed with them for 10 days, okay? He's given the troops outside 40-day deadline. He said, within 40 days, I'll be successful. If you don't see the blood, which will mean I'm successful. If you don't see that blood, then they've got me and I'm unsuccessful. Yeah. Okay. Then this family, they gave him clothing, Amaleki clothing. They believed his story. And they gave him Amaleki clothing, and off he went.
A bit odd, if they see him in Jewish clothing, they should know something.
His cover story was, I've been clothed by the Jews, and they've planted me here as a spy. Yeah. He
the money will give you Amaleki clothing, sort of thing, you know.
Well, no, he fooled them. He had a brilliant story, yeah? He fooled them.
Did he also save his family afterwards?
I won't tell you yet. I'll keep you here. Yeah.
If they bury the perimeter wall, they should have been suspicious. He's come over.
No, his story was. No, his story was the Jews have catapulted me over in order to gain inside information about Amalek. Yeah. And they believed him. They took his story on trust. Okay. Now, off he went. And he looked around and he could see the workings of the town. And he went to a blacksmith with his broken sword. And he said to the blacksmith, do me a favour, could you please make a replica sword? Yeah. Right? He seems to have had a phenomenal sword, Yoav. Yeah. And when the blacksmith saw the sword, the blacksmith himself started trembling. He couldn't. He'd never seen a sword anything like this. I've never seen such a sword before. And he said, please make it for me. And he did. And he paid him for it. And he took the sword, and again it broke. Yeah. And he had it remade a second and a third time, and it seems maybe the blacksmith got it wrong. He couldn't cope with making such a complex sword, strong sword, but eventually got it right.
Yeah.
And Yoav eventually took the sword, and then he went round, and in fact, the blacksmith said to him, a sword like this... Yoav turned to the blacksmith and he said, now that I've got this sword, now you've made for me this fabulous sword, whom do you think I should kill with this sword? And the blacksmith said, don't forget, the blacksmith is an Amaleki, he said, there's one man you should kill, and that's Yoav ben Saruya. Whereupon Yoav said, well, actually, I am Yoav ben Saruya, and then he killed the blacksmith, right? So the blacksmith is his first victim, okay? Right. He then went round.
He's also like cold-blooded in a way, Yoav.
He's killing Amalekim. Simchazich Amalek. He did this. Yeah, no.
I know what you're saying, but I'm saying
that
human nature is not always that easy.
Yeah, he would say,
be nice to me.
No way. Simchazich Amalek. He was Mekamim Mitzvot here, right? Yeah. So, and then he went round, in short, he went round single handedly. It says he first found a group of 500 men, 500 very brilliant soldiers, and he killed them single handedly. It's unbelievable to understand how this could be. Yeah. And then eventually he went back to the home who had looked after him, and they said, have you heard the terrible news? There's a man in town who's killing everybody. Who can it be? And they understood that there's only one person who could possibly kill like this, and it must be Ashmedoi. Ashmedoi is the king of demon king. King of the demons, yeah. As recorded, that's it, recording Gemara and Gittin, yeah. And he then bribed them a bit more. He gave them a bit more money, and he stayed with them another 10 days. And then he went out into the streets again, and he found another group of 500 strong soldiers, and he killed them. And I didn't understand the story fully. Somehow his sword became stuck in his hand. Somehow or another, he couldn't get it out of his hand. I can't understand that. And he went back to the home who had looked after him. And he said, could you please heat up some water for me? Because the water will be able to release the sword from my hand. And in the end, he and this young daughter of the widow who was pregnant, I think he asked her, and he killed, in the end, he killed her as well. Okay. And then an announcement went around town that anyone who's got a visitor staying in their house should bring the visitor to the king. Okay, they realise there's a man, there's some infiltrator here, and anyone who's got any kind of outsider, bring them with. He went around and he killed them all. He's absolutely killed absolutely everybody, until and indeed within that 40-day deadline, the blood started oozing out from underneath the gates of the town, and the Jewish army outside saw the blood. Within the 40-day limit, and they realized that he'd been very successful, and the army recited Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then when Yoav saw that, he went to the top of a tower so that the Klal Yisrael could see him from within the town. He went up to some kind of a top of a tower, and he called out, Kilo Yitosh Hashem Esamo, Bavul Shema Godol, HaKosh Baruch Hu, won't forsake his people. And Hashem Yilochim Lochem, acquitted with Sukkim, Hashem will fight for you. And eventually they came back, and Yoav with the army eventually went back successfully to David, whereupon David composed the chapter in Tehillim, Yancha Hashem Yem Tzoro, I think that's the one. All these Pesukim all related to this incident. Now, so again, okay, so that's the... And then eventually he brought the king of that country, the king of Amalek, he brought him to David. And Yoav took the crown off the king of Amalek and put it onto David's head. It's one of these phenomenal stories. And the story has got a happy ending, okay? They all ended happily. And then... and Klal Yisrael, of course... This is the Yalkut HaMochiri, but normally, very interesting, normally the Midrashim I find here and the Yalkut HaMochiri I find elsewhere too. I haven't found this one anywhere else. Okay, I only found it here.
The family looked after him.
He killed them. He killed that family. Absolutely, they're Mamalikim. I know it goes against our natural Rachmanus.
Amalekim. A bit suspicious. This family.
Rachel was not from Amalek.
I know that, but she was still the enemy.
She was the enemy who cooperated in the knowledge. These people, this family, didn't know he was Yoav, right? They believed the story.
Suspicious. 500 people are dead. You come over my wall into my courtyard.
Yeah.
Put two and two together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've taken a shortcut through this story, A, because it's really, really long, and B, because I didn't understand all of it. But it's a phenomenal story. That's the Velokaya Dalek Shur. That's how the Yalkut Hamochiri brings it. Right. Yeah. Now, in Shmuel Beis, let's compare this pasuk to the chapter in Shmuel, to the pasuk in Shmuel Beis. So you got it, Shmuel Beis. It's chapter Kaf Beis, pasuk Gamas. Yeah, that's right. In Shmuel Beis. Here we go. Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis. You got the bookmark there, and it's pasuk Lamed. Here we are. Kivacha Orutz Gedud. Yeah. Kivacha Orutz Gedud Beilokai Adalek Shur. It's almost identical. Yeah, a few differences there. First of all, Kivacha Orutz Gedud, through you or with you, Hashem, I run against the enemy or I crush the enemy. Look at that word Orutz; it's got a vav in it, right? In Shmuel Beis, it's got a vav. In our pasuk, it does not have a vav. Okay, the word Vacha in Shmuel Beis is spelled with a hey at the end, an extended form of the word. Whereas in our pasuk in Tehillim, no, it's just Veis and followed by a final Chof. And the third difference is Belokai Adalek Shur. In our pasuk in Tehillim, it's got Uvelokai Adalek Shur. Extra Vav there. Okay, so first of all, the Radak there in Shmuel Beis points out it's got the extra hay. He just points it out, but he doesn't comment on it. The Balaturim in Parashas Va'era, and it's Va'era chapter Zion Posuk Kaftes, speaks there about the plague of Sephardea, the frogs. Uvacha uva'amacha uvacha lavadecha. This is Moshe Rabbeinu warning Paro what's going to happen with the plague of Sephardea. Uvacha uva'amacha. They're going to come against you and against your people and against all your servants. Ya'alu hatzifardim. Now that word uvacha, take a look at it. It's spelled with a hey. Uvacha. Yeah? Very unusually. It's spelled with the extra hey. Uvacha. Exactly. Right? Says the Balaturim, what's the connection between this pasuk uvach in Bahashas Va'era about Sfardea and our pasuk in Shmuel Beis? Uvacha. Is because it's got the word gedud. The frogs marched against the Egyptians like an army troop. They came like an army. An army of frogs. So, like the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis has got the word Orutz Gedud running against troops, the army troops. So, likewise, there, the Tzfardea also came like troops. So, that's the connection. Hence, the word of Cha is spelt with the extra hay on both occasions, the one in Shmuel Beis and also the Pasuk in Va'era. Yeah?
The Tzfardim came like in a formation.
Yes, like yes, they army. Did. They did. They really did. They came like an army against Paro. An army of frogs. And one last thing here is brought by the Abarbanel in Shmuel Beis, and that is that the we have two types of wars going on here. Kivacha Orutz Gedud is the troops on the open field. And Belokai Adalek Shur is jumping over a wall, which is fighting in town. So you've got fighting in open countryside, Orutz Gedud, and you've got fighting in town, Adalek Shur, jumping over the wall of the city to get into a town to fight in town. Says the Abarbanel's whole thing throughout the chapter in Shmuel Beis is that the Psukim in Tehillim are an improvement on the Psukim in Shmuel Beis. Says that's why in Tehillim we get the extra Vav, Uvelokai Adalek Shur, to show that there are two different stages. You've got the fighting in the countryside, Orutz Gedud, Uvelokai, and also fighting in town, Adalek Shur, fighting in town. So the extra Vav separates between the two halves of the Pasuk, fighting in the open countryside and fighting in town. The extra Vav in Tehillim is an improvement on the version in Shmuel Beis to show that there are two different types of battles, open battles and in-town battles.